Mendel's going to sit down to preach, so if you can't see and you want to sit cross-legged on the floor at his feet, you're welcome to.
I have raised the church this morning. It's all my fault. I will freely admit it's my fault. Somebody been asking me, and by sores that were caused by the cast that I had, they're healed up, but the bone is not going back together right, and so you can pray about that. So the bone will get going. They tell me not to walk on it. I don't know how you go to the bathroom or take a shower or do anything else without stepping on it sometime, you understand? So, I'm old and I'm a diabetic. That's a problem. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm just going to read the first four verses and then tell you the story that has the rest of it here. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you showing us how you handle so many situations in life, so we might know you. We thank you because you're wonderful to know. I pray you give me freedom and ease to preach your word today, and that you'd bless all that hear, and that, Lord, we'd bring honor to your name, and even some lost soul might be saved, that all Christians might be encouraged. Move with your spirit upon us today. Have mercy upon us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You ought to sympathize a little bit with Ahab because we are Americans. We get our way. We do a lot of things. We have everything going our way. We're spoiled rotten. And we don't get something we want, we go lay on the bed and suffer a little bit, don't we? I've always thought about the kings. I've studied a lot about the kings. You read about them in history. Some of them become kings when they're 8 or 9 years old. Some of them even when they're just a baby because of the descendant, you know, the way they work those things. And if you're a king like Solomon or David or Saul, wow, you're just spoiled rotten. There's nobody can say anything to you. You can do as you please. You can say, this person lives, this person dies. Well, you know, we have an awful lot of freedom in our land. We've grown up with an awful lot of freedom.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And you know, we have an emotional way of getting upset when we don't get little things that we want.
Amen.
Are you guilty?
Yes.
I think all of us are guilty. Oh my, I can't buy that new Camaro. Where's Roland? There you go. I gotta give Roland a hard time every time I think about a Camaro, you know. I never even thought of one. I wanted a Lincoln. You know, that's my style. We're so used to getting our things, getting our ways. And so we're spoiled enough that when we don't get little things, they ruin our days. It's a tragedy. It really is. And I would think that most of us Americans, even hardworking Americans, can drive good cars, live in nice houses, have nice clothes, and do all sorts of things. We live in this bubble called America. It's a wonderful place to be, but the rest of the world isn't like this. They're not like this. And there's an awful lot of people that feel sorry for themselves because they don't have everything they want. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you're on welfare right here in the United States, you're living better than most of the people that ever lived since Adam. That's the truth. Now, here's a king. His name's Ahab. I don't know why anybody would name their son Ahab if they ever read the Bible. Because Ahab was the wickedest king there was. That wasn't the worst king. The Bible describes him as a very wicked king. But you know what he did? When he picked a wife, he picked Jezebel. Did any of you name your daughter Jezebel? There are girls named Jezebel. Did you know that? In fact, I've known some people being named A, B, C, D, E. That's the truth. So some people might have looked in and said, well, Jezebel, that's a nice name. But this Jezebel was so bad a wife, she made Ahab worse than he was. Now, isn't that something? My wife was a sort of a calming influence on me. She was sort of a restrictive influence on me. She didn't help me get bad or worse than what I was. She tried to improve me a little bit. Not Jezebel. Now, what happens here? Got a guy named Naboth. I know some of you think everything ought to be fair. I just want to make a statement right now. God is not fair. I don't think the Bible anywhere describes God as fair. You may find a verse and come up and correct me, but God is not fair. God is just. Amen. God is righteous. Amen. God is merciful. Amen. God is understanding. Amen. He's got loving kindness, but God is not fair. Now, my folks, I was raised by sweet people, and I just had one sister. So my folks felt like if they bought my sister a washing machine, they had to give me a certain amount of money or buy me something. Well, now, I ended up having five kids. I can't be fair. If one of them has a problem and I have to spend $1,000 on that problem, I don't have four other $1,000 to go around. You understand? It was simply financial reasoning, you know. Well, God is not fair. There's not two people inside this room that are equal. Not two. Some of us lose our lives in a very young age. Now, we come up to this church out at the Springs, this Baptist church that got shut up, and 26 people killed out there. What's fair about that? Not fair. I'm going to be 81 next Sunday, if I live that long. I'm going to be 81 next Sunday. Man, I never thought I'd be this old. I did not think I'd live fast, love hard, die young, leave a beautiful corpse and a happy memory. Sort of my motto when I was growing up. You know something? Some people don't have 20 years to live. You don't know how long you're going to live. I don't care what the doctors tell you. I don't care. They can tell you you're in the prime of health. Go play your golf game and be like a friend of mine just died when he's pulling his clubs out of the trunk of his car. 50 years old. No, life's not fair. Now, we're not all the same. Some of you are born with poor eyesight. Some of you are born with poor hearing. Some of you are born crippled. And it could be all in the same family. You know what I mean? That's life. Do you know what? Life is not fair. And if you're thinking on the sense of fairness, you need to rethink the things over. God did not put you in this world to be like everybody else. You're different. You're different. And you are what God made and what he wanted for you. Well, now, here's old Ahab. He is a wicked king, a wicked man. He's a very selfish person. He says, you know, I would really like to have me a garden of herbs, and I'd like it sort of close to the palace. Well, Naboth, you've got a vineyard here, and I would just like to buy that from you. I want you to give me your vineyard. I'll give you a better one for it, or I'll give you money for it. But you know, there was a problem. Naboth was a religious Jewish man. He got an inheritance that God gave him, and in the law, you'll read that inheritance is not supposed to be given away or taken lightly. And so he said, God does not, the Lord forbid it me. He said, you know, you're the king, but I've got God that told me that I'm not supposed to give up this inheritance. Well, now he went in and he lays on his bed and he's pouting a little bit. Well, this lovely wife that he has, a gal named Jezebel, she comes in and she sees him. Well, what's the matter with you? How come you're not feeling good? How come you're not eating? Well, I went to Naboth and tried to get his vineyard and he wouldn't give it to me. Does that sound like you some days? Bless your heart. Come on, fess up. I didn't get my way. I don't want to live today. I just don't fix me anything to eat. I'm not going to eat anything. I couldn't eat anything with the disappointment I've had. And she looks at him, and Jezebel's a very practical woman. She's very wicked, but she's a very practical woman. She says, well, no problem. I'll get your vineyard for you. And so she goes in and takes his seal and writes some letters to the elders of this town, Jezreel. And she puts it in Ahab's name. And she says, you take Naboth and you set up a fast up and you put him before the people and you have two sons of Belial, which was her religious affiliation like. Have them testify that he blasphemed God and cursed the king. And so the people did exactly what the king told them to do. They took Naboth and they put him up there in front of the judgment of the thing. Two guys swore he cursed God and he blasphemed God and he cursed the king. They took him out and they stoned him. And by the way, if you look over at 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 26. This is the judgment coming down. But it says, surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. Not only Naboth died, but both his sons died. You know something? I had beautiful grandchildren. I had fine children, beautiful grandchildren. And I've got great-grandchildren that are beautiful children. Naboth didn't get that. Life's not fair. Everybody doesn't get the same thing. Naboth didn't get to play with his grandchildren and tease them and tell them stories about how he bit a bear to death or something like that. He didn't get that. Life's not fair. He didn't have the opportunity that I've had or the life that I've had. And his sons didn't either. Both my sons are in the room today. One of my daughters is here. And the others are alive and well. He didn't get the same break that I got, nor the same break that many of you have already gotten. Didn't happen. You know what? He got his vineyard. They killed him. And then Jezebel walks in to Ahab. Oh, I've pleased you. I've gotten what you wanted. You wanted it? Naboth's dead. He's been taken out and he's stoned. Go in and possess your vineyard for your herb garden. And he did. Do you know where they threw his blood and his carcass and Jezebel's too? In that same vineyard. When his judgment finally comes down the line, years later, that's where he's thrown. That's where the dogs lick his blood. And that's where the judgment of God falls down on Ahab and Jezebel. Now, thinking about it, what was the sin of Naboth? We don't have many. He's a righteous man. He's a good man. He lives his life. He lives it by certain rules. He lives it by the principles that God has taught him. He didn't have a sin. What was the sin of his sons? They didn't have a sin there either. I'm not saying they were sinless. I'm saying they didn't have anything to be judged about. But they died. They lost their inheritance. They lost their life. And as far as this life is concerned, they were not equal to the rest of us. And that's sort of like Job. You read about Job, I do not want the same experience as Job had. You ever read the book of Job? Job didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything to be judged. He didn't do anything to lose everything and to lose 10 children. And even when God gave him 10 children back, they weren't the same children. That's 10 other children. This life is not necessarily fair, and God doesn't have to be fair. That's not the rule that God is working by. Now, what was his sin? None. What of his sins? None. Life wasn't fair to Naboth or to his sons or to Job. You know something? Life's full of tragedies. What happened in Sutherland Springs wasn't fair. And there's probably some idiots down there say, well, see, if I'd have went to church, I'd have died. See, holds you bad going to church. There's always lots of people out there with speak their mind, and you understand how little they think, you know, when they speak their mind. They've given all that they've got. That's their wisdom. There were people going to a little church, congregation of about 40, and most of them were young people. And what happened? Some idiot goes in and shoots all of them. And then later on ends up killing himself. But he was stopped by a gunman on the good side. Think about that a minute. They're tragedies. Now that hurt me. I don't know about you, but that one moved me more than a lot of the things I've read and heard about in the last year or so. That just moved me. I thought about, you talk about wiping out a church. How about taking half the member, over half the people that come? And they're gone. They're dead. Tragedies are going to come in your life too. Hey, I didn't want to break my ankle. It is a real problem for me. I can't do what I want to do. Things like that happen to you? Sure. We got some of our members in the hospital right now, and some even just lost a child, and all sorts of things. Tragedies happen. When that big tsunami went over there in Asia and killed 200,000 or million people, I don't know, whole bunch. Wow. Wow, it didn't hit us. Back here when we had a hurricane in Houston, it killed people. It wiped people's business out. Some of them will never recover. Some of them that came up here to San Antonio and Dallas and some other places will never go back. There's nothing to go back to. That's a tragedy. And a lot of people aren't going to have insurance on those sort of things because it's rising water. And if you don't live in a floodplain, you don't get insurance for rising water. So you may have lost your whole house, your car, and everything else. There's suffering. Brian, with his daughter, has been suffering. That daughter suffers, and him and Judy suffer. And some of the rest of you, you got your problems. You got your dad you got to take care of, or your mother that you've got to take care of. Life is full of tragedies and sad incidents, suffering, physical conditions that are really, really a real problem. Now, you know what you ought to look for? If you start suffering, the first place you ought to look is, am I in sin? You a Christian? If you start going through suffering, number one, have I done something to displease God? Now, don't look at other people that way. Look at yourself. Do you know what? People get saved because they go through suffering. People get saved when they go through real disappointment. Amen. Tragedies come in some people's lives. You know what they do? They call on God and get saved. So sometimes these tragedies are a blessing. They're a blessing that you might get saved. That friend of mine dying when I was in the Air Force, that made me think I can die too. I can die too. I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but man, it woke me up when a guy just about the same age as me explodes and lives 11 days right out here at Brooks. They shipped him from Roswell, New Mexico to Brooks place. But you know what that did? That was a blessing to me. Now it wasn't a blessing to him. Bobby Harris from Tennessee. I hope he was saved. I hope he was in one of those hillside Baptist churches back up there and somebody had gotten saved. I don't know. I don't know. Have a clue. Have no way of knowing. But it was a blessing to me. And tragedies are a blessing to you. There's a thief on a cross with Jesus Christ. He's hanging there. He's dying. He's never going to get baptized. He's never going to give a witness. He's never going to bring people to church. He's never going to stand up as a witness or a martyr. But through his suffering, he said, remember me. Remember me. And that's the example of Christianity. It's simply believing. You can be saved. Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe your life is a mess right now. Maybe things have come to you that aren't fair. Maybe you're suffering and you don't know how to get out of it. I don't know what the problems might be in your life. It just might be God trying to get your attention. Because God does it. God does it. It's a common law to mankind. Suffering. Everybody goes through suffering. Nobody has the perfect life. I know some of you think that these great stars, football stars or something like that, and they get so many millions of dollars and boy, they've got a... No. They got suffering just like you. That movie star that you think has got the perfect life, she looks so beautiful and whatever, she's miserable. She doesn't know how to live. How many of them commit suicide? How many of them get on drugs? How many of them are so disappointed they can't even build a life and you're jealous of them? You don't need to be jealous of them. Amen. Everybody has suffering. Everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties. You're not something special just because something went wrong in your life. Now, I thought about the Depression, and I thought about it because I was born in the midst of it, and my folks lost everything in it. And I think the Depression and their loss and what they went through made them better people. I have it in my head. They lost a lot. They were hurt a lot. But boy, did it make great people out of them. Now, some people it ruined. I've heard of guys that had lost millions of dollars when the Depression fell. This one guy only had $3 million left. He jumped out of a 20-story building and jumped to his death because he only had $3 million left. I mean, he'd lost $20 or $30 million, you know. And for him, it was just his life was over. No. But you know what? You need to seek God. And that's why troubles come your way. Don't be judging other people in their troubles. But you look at yourself when something comes your way. Is God trying to get your attention? Because I tell you what, there are people that get saved in foxholes. People that were drunks and adulterers and all sorts of things, and the bullets start flying over them and people start dying around them, they call on God. A whole lot of, they make a statement, and there are no atheists in foxholes. Well, they may go in an atheist. They may be a believer when they come out. They're trying to get somebody to help me. Is there anybody that could help me? You get in bad situations like that. And you know what it'll do? It'll help you or it'll knock you out of the race. Some people it makes stronger.
Amen.
Does it pay to serve Jesus then? Well, a lot of people that don't believe say it doesn't pay. Doesn't pay to serve Jesus. But let me tell you what I think. I think it does. Long time ago, I went to the book of Genesis and read what Abraham said in Genesis 18:25. Abraham is talking to God and he's trying to get mercy for Lot down in Sodom. And he says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now I know you got a lot of arguments that God is not right. Why does he allow sin? Why does he allow suffering? Why does he allow death? Why did he allow that guy? Why didn't he stop that guy before he killed that 26 people? And there's lots of arguments that way, and you can argue it on both sides. But I came to the place in my mind that settled it for me. I said, I'm going to take the faith of Abraham. I believe God does right. Not fair. Right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so when I come up on a question like some of these things that we look at, and even some of the things that you might have going on in your life right now, some sickness, some tragedy, some trouble, whatever it might be, God does right. And I go back to that. I can't explain it. I can't help you out sometimes. You say, why? Why? I don't answer why questions. I don't know why. I don't know why God lets some people go through some things and puts other people through just tragedies, troubles. I don't know why, but I believe God does right. So I think it's right to serve the Lord. Look at Exodus 20:12. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 is the listing of the Ten Commandments. And here's one. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If you honor your mother and father, will you live to be an old person? Not necessarily. But that's sort of what he's promising. And you know, I believe there's a certain amount of that's going to be true. It's a general truth. It's not something without an exception. I'm sure there's some people that have honored their father and their mother and died a young death. But you know the truth. Honor thy father and mother, and I'll tell you what, you might just be blessed with a long, rich life. That's a promise there. Now, there's another one. Look over at the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 6. Here's another one some of you have asked me about. And I've thought about it many times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It didn't say when he's a teenager he won't depart from it. It says when he's old. Isn't that amazing? But the truth of the matter is, if you train up a child well, you're probably going to be blessed by it. And the child's going to be blessed by it. Do you know what I think is happening in our country today and around the world maybe? We have undisciplined people raising undisciplined children. And that is a tragedy. Because somebody, maybe the police department, maybe the FBI, somebody is going to discipline your child. You can help him a whole lot if you discipline him when he's a little bitty thing. I have heard it said by people in official capacities about children, you cannot tell your child no. That's the first word that child needs to learn. Absolutely no, and you mean it. I heard this lady going down the grocery line, you know, and she said, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, she ain't spanked him yet. And I'm saying, please, just hit him once. Good night. Hit him one time anyway, that he'll know that you mean what you say. Yes, if you train your, generally speaking, if you are disciplined in your house and you train your children to obey you and to obey the laws and to be respectful and so on and so forth, the chances are you're going to have a better family. Now, can you be a very good parent and have a bad child? Yes, you can. Can you have a child go bad on you? Yes, you can. Can people be a bunch of bums and have one child be real good? Yes. I've met them in both cases. But percentage wise, you train that child up like he ought to be. You teach him to respect God and his parents and other people. You teach him to follow Christ. You're going to get the blessing coming back to you from that. Is it a guarantee that my son will never disappoint me? Or No, it's not. My son or my daughter may end up... I know good families, and they got one or two children that are just disasters. Just disasters. It's not a guarantee. But percentage-wise, you're going to do better. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, look at 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. He didn't say your faith. How does faith get tried? You believe something that doesn't happen real quick. You trust something that doesn't come down the way. Your faith gets tested, gets tried when you don't get what you want. You don't get what you prayed for. You don't get what the thing that you expected, the expected end. That's when your faith gets tried. And you know what this says? It's the trial of your faith that's more valuable than gold. That's an amazing statement there. More precious than gold that perisheth. None of you believe that. You think that gold's a whole lot more valuable than faith, don't you? You don't believe that. But this is what the Bible says, and I think you ought to believe it just because the Bible says it. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, it may be one tough trial. Things don't always go the way you think they ought to. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. You don't always get to see your faith come out right here. You don't always get your answers to prayer. You don't always get your healing. If the healers could heal, then there'd be a lot of healers still alive. Did you know that every one of the healers that I ever heard of died? It's the trial of your faith. It's tried with fire. And it's going to be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you something. Did Naboth reap the fruit of his life of living for God? No. He didn't do it. His sons didn't either. But you know what I believe? This is just back in my head, just a little thought in my head. They got a special place in heaven where God has made up everything to them. And that's where you're going to get the answers to some of your prayers. You're going to get the blessing. Not maybe in this life. It may not happen to you that way. But at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the glory, when God takes you up there at that judgment and goes through your life, here's three men that I believe God's going to honor. Naboth, and his sons. Look, if you will, at Romans 8:18. Interesting verse. And by the way, the only way these verses can bless you is if you believe them. And you believe them enough to act on them. You believe them enough to base your life on them. You don't base your life on what you see here. Bless your heart, a lot of things you see here, just not real. It's not real. It's not true. It's not lasting. Well, look at 8:18. For I reckon, this is Paul, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No doubt some of you are suffering right now. In this present time, in this life, in this body of flesh, in all these diseases and all of these tragedies and people with guns who don't have a brain in their head are so selfish that I don't understand killing kids as being anything even honorable. Maybe if you go out and fight the champion and whip the champion, that might be honorable, but killing kids? That's just a tragedy. That's just stupidity. That's just sin. That is such a selfish mind. All of the hurt that's still out there in that community right now. All of those people that have lost fathers, mothers, children, husbands and wives. Goodness gracious, the hurt that's out there. And it's all over. It's all over. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, what could we include in that? Just about everything, right? Physical, mental, spiritual. We got a lot of sufferings. One thing about this life, it's full of suffering. Tell you something else it's full of tragedy. And you have no guarantees of tomorrow. You don't know that you will live to come back to the church tonight. Right. Or to see the day tomorrow. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Whoa. I believe that. Amen. I believe that. And if I had my choice, I would say, Lord, don't bless me here. Let me get it there. Because that's going to be a whole lot better than anything I've got here. Everything I've got here burn. I got a nice house. I got some comfortable chairs. I got a bunch of things. And you know, I got all this garbage and junk and whatever. It'll all burn. It's going to burn. If it isn't torn up or stolen or something else like that, it's going to burn. But what are we going? There's going to be a glory which shall be revealed in us. I can't wait to see that glory that I read about in Revelation. Wow. You talk about it. You talk about blowing the mind. Just the idea that I'm going to be sinless. Just the idea that I'm going to be whole. Just the idea that I'm going to have about a 30-year-old body forever. It'll never get old. Never lose my hair. Never get fat. Eat all I want and not get fat. How about that? I reckon the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy. How bad are you suffering right now? Well, it's not worthy. It's not comparable. It's not something that you should put on the same scale as what's coming in the future. The Apostle Paul said, I like to be with Christ, which is far better. I believe him. I believe him. That's faith. I believe him. I believe that is far better. Are you saved today? If you're saved, it's going to be far better. If you're not saved, it's going to be far worse. Pick out the worst scenario that you know in your life right now and put yourself as worse you ought to get saved.
Amen.
You got troubles? You ought to seek God and get saved. You've been going through tragedy? You ought to seek God and be saved. Do you know, there is in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, 31 and 32 rather, 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John tells you I could have written a lot more. Why did I pick these? But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that, you might have life through his name. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to call upon God and trust Christ as your Savior. Let him pay your debt. Let him dress you in his righteousness. Let him take your sin from you. You need to recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior.
Amen.
And you need to call upon him until you find him.
Amen.
Because you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. There might be a shooter come in here just now.
Yes.
Or you might just walk out the door and have a heart attack and fall on the cement. You got a guarantee you won't? You think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof? You're not. You're not. Even if you're 10 foot tall, you're not bulletproof. You need to call on Christ and get saved.
Amen.
I don't know what troubles you've had in your life. I don't know whether you got a grievance against God. You shouldn't have, because God is not fair. God is just and God is righteous and God is merciful and God is our great Savior.
Amen.
And he comes. And it gives you an opportunity. Call upon me. Come unto me. And be you saved.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You need your soul saved and your life changed.
Amen.
May God help you to do it.
Amen.
If you are going through troubles, understand God will help you in your situation right now.
Amen.
Seek him. Seek his face.
Amen.
Seek his peace. Putting your finger on a verse like that and saying, I believe like Abraham. I'm going to have the faith of Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm going to have the faith of Paul. The sufferings of this life, as bad as they may be, the very worst that we have had, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Let's pray.